Welcome to this week's virtual drasha. I'd like to begin by thanking Mrs. Rosalie Sklar and family for dedicating the drasha this week in memory of beloved husband and father, Manfred Sklar, Menachem Mendel ben Tzvi Hirsch, on the occasion of his 17th yahrzeit. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and a family in Nechama. We have an incredible privilege this week to read Parshas Chayisara. And the Parsha begins with the tragic death of Sarah Imenu. Vayu Chayisara Me'ashana Esim Shava Sheva Shanim. Sarah Imenu lived 127 years. And the Torah goes on to tell us that Sarah Imenu passed away in Kiryas Arba and Chevron. Vayavo Avram Lispod Lisara V'Livkosa. And Avram Aminu came to literally eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. So it's interesting, when most of the commentaries focus on this pasuk, they generally get caught up in the same question. The order seems to be a little bit out of whack. It says, Lispod Lisara V'Livkosa, to eulogize for her and to cry for her. But in fact, we know that in general, the normal emotional progression is I cry first and eulogize afterwards. A eulogy requires one to gather, to assemble, to organize their thoughts, whereas crying is just a spontaneous emotional reaction. So I would have thought the pasuk would have said lifkos lisara, to cry for Sarah Imenu v'lisboda, and to eulogize for her. So that's generally what most of the commentaries focus on. We'll leave that for a different shiur. But the Tiferet Shlomo, the great tzaddik, Reb Shlomo Rabinovich, the Rebbe of Radomsk, asks a fascinating question. He says, the pasuk says that Avram came, lispod lisara v'livkosa, to eulogize her, and to cry for her. But then the next pasuk says, vayakam Avram me'al pinei meso, vaydaber el b'nei ches lemor. Avram Avinu got up, literally again, he got up from in front of Sarah, and he went to speak to b'nei ches. And what did he went to go to speak about to b'nei ches, which were the indigenous people there? He said to them, I'd like to buy from you a burial plot, and ultimately again, a series of conversations which leads to the purchase of Ma'aras HaMachpelah. So the Tiferet Shlomo asks an incredible question. He says, it sounds like from the pasuk that Avraham Avinu was ready to eulogize and to cry, but he never actually did so. It says, Vayavo Avram, Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her, but it doesn't say that it happened. It says that he came to do it, but then in the very next verse it says, Vayakam Avram Yalpanei Meso, that Avraham Avinu got up and he began again the transactional discussions with B'nei Ches. So as a Tiferet Shlomo, what happened to the eulogy? What happened to the hesped? What happened to the moving words of tribute that we would have expected Avraham Avinu to share about his beloved wife, his beloved partner, Sarah? And the Rebbe says something absolutely amazing. The Rebbe says, as Avraham Avinu was poised, ready to open up his mouth, to deliver powerful, emotional words of eulogy, thoughts began to fill his mind, thoughts began to fill his heart. What kind of thoughts? Thoughts that said, Ribono Shel Olam, I don't understand you. Sarah Imenu suffered so much throughout her life. She dealt with so much adversity. She followed me anywhere and everywhere. You know, God, you spoke to me. You never spoke to her. But yet she still came along. She was such a devoted follower of you and such a devoted wife of mine that she followed wherever you sent us. She dealt with years of childlessness. And then when you gave us a child, she had to deal with interfamilial strife with Yitzchak Yishmael. And then you ask me to sacrifice my one and only son. And I do so, Yitzchak does so. And then after the Akedah, what do we find? That my beloved wife, Yitzchak's beloved mother, has died. Why? Why would you do this to us? I don't understand. I've always done every single thing that you ask of me. And now you take my wife? Now at a time when we're supposed to marry off our son, now at a time when we're supposed to be able to grow old together, now at a time when we're supposed to be able to reflect back on all of our legacies as we hand over the mantle of monotheistic responsibility to the next generation, now you take her? And the question is even compounded if you understand, as Rashi points out, based on the Medrash, the circumstances of Sarah Imenu's death, somehow having something to do with hearing about the Akedah, but not hearing that Yitzchak was not killed. Says it Tiferet Shlomo, says it Adamsk Rebbe. Avram Avinu's heart and mind is filled with these kashas, filled with these questions, and a wave of anger, resentment, and animosity begins to overtake Avram, the man who is so in love with God, the man who is so overwhelmed with the Ribono Shel Olam, begins to feel the wellsprings of anger and animosity bubbling up inside of him. So what does Rav Avinu do? He realizes that if I don't stop this, if I don't shut this down now, those feelings are going to overtake me and forever tarnish and damage my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Tiferes Shlomo, Avram Avinu never delivered the eulogy because he felt himself being overcome with such profound feelings, negative feelings towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he shut it down. He just simply shut the entire thing down. Better not to deliver the eulogy. Better not to say the words of tribute and run the risk of the negative feelings overtaking my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu never delivered the eulogy because he made a conscious decision. I need to shut the thoughts down. You see, Avram Avinu understood there's a time and place to question. Avram Avinu wasn't scared to question God. When God is ready to destroy Sodom, Avram Avinu says, What are you doing? Are you going to go and wipe out the tzaddikim with the Rasham? And he advocates and he lobbies and he questions God. Are you really doing the right thing? There's no problem with questioning. But Avram Avinu also understood that there comes a certain point in time where you could ask the questions. You'll get the answers you're going to get. Many of them will remain unanswered. And then you simply have to learn how to move on in life. Because if you let the questions, if you let the anger, if you let the sadness, if you let the tragedy overtake you, it'll simply paralyze you. It's okay to ask, always okay to ask. But at a certain point in time, you have to say, okay, I got all the answers I'm going to get. And now it's time to move on. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik points out something amazing. The Rav says that often, sometimes it happens in a Gemara, that a particular sugya, a particular section or discussion will have a back and forth, a vigorous back and forth. And then the sugya, the Gemara will ask a question, none of the rabbis can answer it, and the Gemara ends off with the word teku. Teku is an acronym for Tishbi Yitarit Kushios V'Ibayos. Eliyahu HaNavi will answer all of our questions when he comes. When Eliyahu comes to herald the coming of the Messiah, the Melech HaMashiach, we'll go to him with all of our kashas, all of our difficult questions, and he'll answer all of them. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, why does the Gemara have to say that? Why can't you just work it through to a conclusion? Because remember, even when the Gemara says a teku, the halacha still resolves it in some way. So why don't you just give some kind of answer? And Rabbi Soloveitchik said so beautifully, because Chazal were trying to teach us an incredible lesson, that there are questions in life that are unresolved. There are questions in life that are unresolved. We want answers to everything, but there aren't answers. Or I should say, there are answers for everything, but not every answer is attainable by us. Not every answer is understandable by us. And not every answer are we meant to have. And therefore, ultimately, again, Avraham Avinu understands these questions, these things that bother me are whirling around, they're swirling in my mind, swirling in my heart. And I feel I'm getting angry, and I feel I'm getting disillusioned, and I feel that I'm getting upset. So as Avram Avinu is about to eulogize his wife, he says, I'm shutting this down. I can't do this. It's not the right covet to Sarah. It's not the right thing to my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he never eulogizes her because he does not want the thoughts of negativity to overtake him. Instead, Vayokam Avram mi'al p'nei meso, vayidaber el b'nei ches lemor. He gets up and he turns to the more transactional utilitarian aspects of the burial, purchasing the Maras HaMachpelah in order to bury Sarah Imenu. An incredible and overwhelming idea. But I think the Rebbe is teaching us really two profound ideas. One in the realm of our relationship with Hashem, and one in the realm of our relationship with ourselves. In the realm of our relationship with Hashem, as we mentioned before, we all have questions. Who amongst us doesn't have life circumstances where we wonder to ourselves, God, why are you doing this? Why have you done this to me? I just don't understand it. Or maybe it's not even us. Maybe I see something happening to someone else, and it hurts me so badly to see that person suffering. So I find myself asking, why, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why? Why would you do something like this? Why would you visit these circumstances upon an individual? And it's okay to ask. The beautiful part is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a thick skin, and you could always ask and you could always question. That's okay. And hopefully I'll get some answers to some of my questions. But I must realize that there will always be some questions which remain unanswered. Don't let those questions paralyze you. Don't let those questions render you immobile. Don't let those questions bring your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu crumbling down. Except that there are certain things that I won't understand, certain things that I won't comprehend, and figure out a way to move yourself forward. Life is filled with tekus. Do you know what the Gemara does after it has a teku? You know what the Gemara does? Something amazing. It goes on. It moves on. Next topic, next sugya, next opinion. It's not like the teku brings the world to a teku, teku. We don't know the answer. We can't understand. Stop. Stop the press. Stop the Talmud. Stop everything. No. There's a teku, and literally there's not even a space after the teku. The Talmud continues its dialogue right after the teku. You can have your questions, and I can ask my questions. But don't let the questions paralyze you. Don't let the questions deconstruct your relationship with Hashem. Don't let the questions take away a relationship that could be so beautiful, so enriching, and so meaningful. Learn from Avram Avinu, because Avram also had those questions. Those questions were so powerful that they were literally churning up feelings of anger and animosity inside of him to a God that he loved so much, to the point that he couldn't eulogize his own wife. But he stopped, and moved on. We're entitled to our theological questions. Ask them, and if you could get answers, fantastic. But the ones you can't get answers, time to gather your strength. You got your teku, and time to move forward. But there's a second lesson. And this is not even a theological one, but rather a more personal one. Many of us find ourselves plagued with all kinds of thoughts. Some of us have thoughts of feeling inadequate, general inadequacy. Feelings of not measuring up. Some of us feel like damaged goods because of past failures. And some of us just feel bad about ourselves for a whole variety of different reasons. And very often, it's those negative thoughts, that negative self-perception, those negative feelings about myself that hold me back from accomplishing so much good. And many of us struggle with these things in different ways. And it's natural. If I've failed at something in life, it's normal to feel like a failure, even though I'm not. And if I compare myself to others and I feel that I don't measure up, it's normal to feel inadequate. We're human beings. These are feelings we experience. But tragically, so many people fall prey to these feelings. And they allow these feelings to dominate them. They allow these feelings of inadequacy to hold them back. They allow these feelings. How many times does it happen that we have relationships and there's anger in those relationships? Whether it's anger towards the other, anger towards myself. And that anger, those feelings stunt my growth, stunt the growth of the relationship. Avraham Avinu teaches us that sometimes you have to learn to compartmentalize your feelings, to compartmentalize your thoughts. It doesn't mean ignore your feelings or your thoughts, but don't allow certain feelings to overtake you. Don't allow certain thoughts to define your entirety. You know, often you can't control what comes into your head, but you absolutely control the degree to which those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions dominate you. I can't control necessarily what comes in, but I could control what I allow to control me from the inside. Avraham Avinu teaches us that sometimes there are thoughts, there are feelings, there are emotions which occur inside that if left unchecked could have a potentially debilitating impact on who I am, on what I am, and on the life that I lead. Sara Imino didn't get her eulogy. She didn't get her eulogy because Avraham Avinu decided that his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the impact that relationship would have upon him and upon his son Yitzchak was of much greater importance than any words of tribute he could have delivered to Sari Imenu. But I would say something a little bit different. Each of us has an opportunity to deliver a beautiful eulogy for Sara, but not a eulogy of words, a eulogy of dynamic life opportunity. If we follow the lead of Avraham Avinu, and when we have our theological questions, ask them, get whatever answers you can, and move on. If when we find ourselves overwhelmed by internal feelings of inadequacy, of self-doubt, of anger, we find a way to acknowledge those feelings, but then compartmentalize those feelings and figure out a way to move forward, that's the greatest hesped. That's the greatest eulogy. that we can give to Sari Imenu. A eulogy not of words, but a eulogy ultimately of dynamic life activity. Wishing everyone a good and Erev Shabbos and a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh.